I want to begin tonight by reading a little statement by a Walmart employee. Anybody ever heard of Walmart? Ever been there? The Walmart employee wrote this statement. It's a quote. He said, "One of the highlights of my day as a Walmart employee is listening to the Walmart radio. Based upon their programming, it appears that their goal is to please everyone. However, based upon the response from employees and customers alike, they please no one. Like most retail stores, Walmart radio plays songs to go along with each season or holiday. So as you might guess, the month of February has been filled with songs of love. Now, I don't know if it's on purpose or if it's accidental, but there are times when it seems the programming manager has a great sense of humor. I know this because last week, as I was enjoying the songs of love on Walmart radio, a song came on with the title, Love is in the Air. I thought this was an appropriate song for Valentine's Day. However, just a few songs later, a song came on with the title, Love Stinks. So I thought, that must be what I smell. Tonight our lesson is on the subject of God's love. 1 John has been regarded as the great book of love because in 135 verses of 1 John, we find the word love 46 times. John wrote this book because false teachers had infiltrated the early church, and he wrote this book to refute their false teaching and to put them in their place. And so to do that, John tells about a great God with a great love for great sinners. Notice three things in this passage tonight. The title of our lesson is Love is in the Air. First of all, notice God's love is described in the context. Look at verse 7 and 8. Notice he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God." Notice this, "for God is love." There is nothing like the love of God. When you read the Bible and study and learn about God's love, you realize it is beyond our human understanding. It is much different from human love. It's much different from worldly love. When you talk about God's love, it's not like a harlequin romance type of love. We're not talking about the bachelorette kind of love. This is not a mamby-pamby human emotion kind of love. This is a holy God who loves a sinful people. Notice three things here the Bible teaches about God's love. Real quick, notice in the Bible we learn that God's love, first of all, is unconditional. God's love is unconditional. God's love is not based on what we do or what we don't do. It's not something you can earn or pay for. It comes from the heart of God. John tells us here that God is love. It's His nature. It's His characteristic. It's who He is. He doesn't love us based on anything we do for Him. It is His nature. It is who He is. He loves us no matter where we come from, no matter where we're going. God's love, first of all, is unconditional. Secondly, notice we're talking about God's amazing love. It's not only unconditional, but God's love is unending. It's unending. God's love is forever. God's love is an eternal kind of love. You ever fell in love, fell out of love, right? Amen. We've all done that. God doesn't do that. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." There's nothing you and I can do to make the Lord God of the universe stop loving us. His love is an unending love. It's an eternal love. You know, many years ago, George Jones, a country and western country singer, he had a song that was he stopped loving her today. They'll never write a song about God that says He stopped loving you today. God's love is eternal. It's everlasting. It's unending. So we see here not only is it unconditional, it's unending. Also notice it's unselfish. God loves us unconditionally. God loves us with a never-ending love. But isn't this great? He loves us that way, but yet He doesn't ask for anything in return. This is not a, I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine. He doesn't love us trying to get us to do something. He's not loving us with the purpose of getting us to do something for Him in return. But oh, we ought to love Him in return, amen? Because of an unconditional, never-ending kind of love, He loves us in that way, then we ought to in turn love Him. He says in verse 19, John says, we love Him because He first loved us. I saw a Peanuts comic strip with Lucy and Charlie Brown having a discussion. You know, you can learn a lot of things, a lot of life lessons in the Peanuts comic strip. Lucy and Charlie Brown were having a conversation. Lucy says to Charlie Brown, you know what I don't understand? I don't understand love. Charlie Brown says, who does? She says, explain love to me, Charlie Brown. He says, you can't explain love. I can recommend a book or a poem or a painting, but I can't explain love. Lucy says, well, try, Charlie Brown, try. Charlie Brown says, well, let's say I see this beautiful, cute little girl walk by. Lucy interrupts. Why does she have to be cute? Huh? Why can't someone fall in love with someone with freckles and a big nose? Explain that. He says, well, you might be right. Let's just say I see this girl walk by with this great big nose. I didn't say great big nose. Charlie Brown says, you not only can't explain love, you can't even talk about it. God's love is so good. God's love is so amazing, so incredible, so unbelievable, so supernatural. It's almost like it's unspeakable. As Charlie Brown says here in his conversation with Lucy, God's love is, it's almost like you can't explain it. You can't put it into words. But listen, you know what? I know you know tonight, it's a great thing to experience God's love, isn't it? Amen? That's how we know it's real. We experience the unending, unconditional love when He saved us. We experience His love every day when He sustains us and gets us through life. So we see here, number one, first of all, notice God's love is described in the context. Number two, notice God's love was demonstrated at Calvary. God's love was demonstrated at Calvary. Look at verse 9 and 10. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we love God, notice this, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. On January 26, 2005, a California train derailed and killed 11 people and injured over 200. One of the injured was a 44-year-old man named John Phipps. After the wreck, he regained consciousness and was pinned down in the train wreckage. An upside-down train seat was above him, and he noticed he was bleeding heavily from his head and body. Thinking he might die, he wrote this message. I, and a heart symbol, you know the heart symbol, he wrote the letter I, heart symbol, or I love my kids. And then underneath that, he wrote I, heart symbol, Leslie, who is his wife. He wrote this message on the seat above him with his own blood. He survived the train accident and became known as the man who wrote his love in his blood. Listen, guys, God's love was written in blood 2,000 years ago on a cross at a place called Calvary. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." A demonstration of God's love. Let's be reminded tonight also that He mentions it here. There had to be a penalty paid for our sins. We're all born into this world as sinners, and there had to be a penalty paid for our sins. There had to be a sacrifice made to God on behalf of our sin. John says here that Jesus was the propitiation for our sin. That means Jesus was our substitute. He took our place. You know, our criminal justice system in our country is very unique. But we have a criminal justice system that's set up whereby if any of us violates the law, we have to pay the penalty. If any of us break the law, there's consequences. You have to, in essence, be punished. Doesn't matter if it's a speeding ticket or some violent offense, for example, like murder. There has to be a punishment. And many times we have to go to court and stand in front of a judge and let that judge give us our punishment. And that's the way it is in our relationship with God. We're born into this world as sinners, and we were due a punishment. We were due to stand before God and be punished for our sins. I've worked in our criminal justice system for 32 years, spent a lot of time in court on the local, state, and federal level. And I tell you this, tonight I never once saw somebody come into a courtroom where somebody was standing at the podium facing a judge waiting to be sentenced. I never once saw anybody come in and say, "Move over, I'll take your place." Because our criminal justice system doesn't work that way. You can't do that. But 2,000 years ago, in a demonstration of God's love for you, Jesus said, "Move over, I got this." He took our punishment. He paid the price for our sins. He loves us, and He shed His blood for us. He enabled us to escape hell. When Jesus died on the cross, His blood came out of His body. It opened the gates of heaven so we could go in. Romans 1:5 says this, "To Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." So we see here, God's love is described in the context. God's love was demonstrated at Calvary. Number three, and lastly, notice God's love is displayed in the Christian. God's love is displayed in the Christian. Look at verse 11 and 12 with me. Notice what he says here. "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us." Obviously, John says here, and obviously we understand, no one can see God. Also, we know Jesus is no longer here on earth. Jesus no longer has a ministry here in this world that demonstrates or displays God's love. In this church age, the only demonstration or the only display of God's love is us, the church, the body of Christ. This principle that John is teaching us here can be summed up this way. Love originated in God, was revealed in His Son, and it's displayed by His people. This is critical. It's the heart of the Christian life. It's the foundation of Christian witness. We do not serve out of obligation, but we serve because He first loved us, and we love Him in return. We put God's love on display by loving Him, loving others. deserving of. This principle really ought to be one of the things that really unites us in the church. We all come here tonight, we're all different. We all have different strengths and weaknesses. We all have different opinions. We all have different backgrounds. We all like different things. But the one thing that ought to unite us, the one thing that ought to bond us together in the church, that we're all loved by a great God in the same way. Amen? That ought to be a bond. That ought to be something that ties us together. That we're all loved unconditionally. That we're all loved by God with an eternal, everlasting love. And we're all saved by the same Savior that demonstrated that love on a cross. I want to share something with you as we close this evening. Be kind of open with you and honest with you. It's kind of comical and funny, really. I've been a bivocational pastor for about 23 years or so. Before that, I was a Gideon. I was in the Gideon ministry. And, you know, I've spoken in a lot of churches as a pastor and with the Gideons. All types, all sizes of churches, big churches, little churches. And I enjoy, you know, God called me to preach, and I don't mind standing up before a crowd to speak and to preach. I enjoy it. But one of the things that happened here is kind of funny. I filled in for Dr. May, as I mentioned, about 3 years ago when I was between churches, didn't have a church. He called me, asked me to come preach for him. Some of you may remember that. And that night, I sat on that front row right there in that first chair that night until it was time for me to speak. Until it was time for me to, you know, come up and preach. And I sat there in that chair until it was time. And when it was time, I made my way up these steps, and I come up this way, and I turned right here. I wasn't used to the lights. All I saw was white light. Anybody ever been there? Know what I'm talking about? I turned and faced the audience, the congregation, and I was like, where did everybody go? And like I said, what I saw was this bright white light of this light bar up here, and I thought, when I come up them five steps, did I die and go to heaven? And so, somewhat not used to the lights and intimidated by these lights, and so I made a point to get used to the lights, you know. But as I was preparing this message for tonight, thinking about facing the lights, I thought about those lights represent, illustrate God's love. Stay with me, guys. Listen. The Christian life ought to be God's love shining through every one of us like those lights. Am I right? Now, you know, darkness represents sin, rebellion, unrighteousness, unholiness, division, death, destruction. But what does light represent? Light represents holiness, righteousness, represents God's love. Tom, I didn't ask Tom to do this, but if I may take the liberty. Tom, can you turn these down? Oh, he's got to get up and move. Sorry, I didn't know that. Darkness. Sin, rebellion, unrighteousness, lostness. The song Love Stinks. Now turn them up, Tom. God's love. Love is in the air when His love flows through us to push back the darkness of the world. Let's pray together. God, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your, we can go to Your Word and learn about Your unconditional love that You have for each and every one of us. An unconditional, never-ending love. Not any kind of human love. It's not a worldly love. It's a supernatural love. Where would we be if it weren't for the love of God? Thank You for loving us despite our sins. Thank You that You loved us so much. You sent Your Son Jesus into this world to die a cruel death on a cross. And through our faith in Him, we can have victory. Help us to be reminded tonight, God, that we're the ones that is to display Your love in this lost and dying world. Help us to be a clean vessel. A clean vessel that's clean enough to let Your light shine through. The Bible says that we're to love You because You first loved us. Help us to show that love, demonstrate that love, and display that love by loving others unconditionally. Thank You for everyone here tonight. Thank You for our time together. As we leave tonight, God, help us to love You and to love others and to serve You and do what You would have us to do. And we pray in Jesus' name. All God's children said, amen. Thank You.